thrilled to say to you, good morning, bon dia, buenos dias. We have the American row over here and the Trinidadian row, all right? We have the Brazilian delegation here, and we have, I think, the Panamanians outnumber over, but we got some Brazilians over there too. So we have an international church this morning. And we have teaching this morning for the children in Portuguese. And children are dismissed. You will be on this side today. Follow Selma, if you would, and Eliegina. You'll go this direction. It's nice how fathers ask their children to do things. You know, we ask them to do things. They don't have much choice, do they? If you would go on one side and you start at the other and see who needs pens. I'm handing out an outline for you to fill in as I speak this morning. And if you need a pen, just request a pen. And that'll work fine. I want you to know that as I'm speaking, you are free to talk among yourselves, okay? And translate things, all right? So you will, at some point, I will say something, and you will, what did he mean by that? You who know, share with the rest. Most of this, I'm sure you'll understand. Well, I'm not so sure you'll understand most of it. The important parts, I hope you'll understand. But talking when I'm preaching is not taboo. Talking when I'm preaching is not taboo. In a moment, we will pray. We want to be in prayer. Our pastor is away at VN, but not just our pastor. Anya is away, and Kate and Eva are away, and Zion is away, and I left out somebody. Camille, thank you. Camille. Oh, Carly, yes, I left out two people. So we've got a lot from our church who are participating this week. I don't know, that's about seven or so, eight or so. The Blands? I don't know if any of them are at VN. Not this week, no. So we'll want to pray for that ministry. In just a moment, we'll pray for what God is doing in VN. Next week, Garth will be at VN again. And ministering the word of God will be Brother Pitters. He is Postman Pitters. But when you hear him next Sunday, he will no longer be Postman Pitters. He will be Preacher Pitters and only Preacher Pitters. He retires this week. Retires. Saturday's his last day. So we get him fresh in retirement. Hallelujah. He's going to be ministering the word. And I want you to know, yes, Shane? Yes. VN. Okay. VN is short for Vida Nueva. That's just the title. It's a adult and ministry retreat sort of thing. They have it at a campground twice a year. They do, the organization is called VN. That's why I'm saying VN is, the organization is called Vida Nueva. Right. So the name for the weekend for the adults is Tres Dias. The name for the youth weekend is Vida Nueva. But the whole organization is called VN. So they have chapters around the United States and different parts of the world. And so they have a men's weekend first, then women's weekend, then teen girls weekend, then teen boys weekend, all like in a month period. They do it in the spring, and they do it again in the fall every year. And once you attend it and are a part of it, then you can serve in it. If you wanted to serve in it, you can't until you actually go through. So it's, I call it a retreat just because people understand what that means. But it's really intense and packed, and I've never been through it, so I don't know anything about it, do I? No, I don't. But it's really changed lives. So we praise the Lord for what he does in VN. So that's what's going on right this time of year. Next week, Delano will be preaching the Word of God. And we want to celebrate his retirement. So if there is something you'd like to bring, bring it along and we'll eat and drink. We'll make sure there's stuff here. Perhaps we'll put something on Facebook. And if you have something in particular you want to bring, you can. But afterwards, after he preaches the word of God, we want to celebrate the beginning of what God has from a new beginning. And we want to continue praying for him because his heart is to minister the word of God full time. And that begins next Sunday. So let's pray for these things. We want to continue remembering Brother James. There's something else. Oh, Vian is also next week as well. And Gabe will be there. Garth will be there. Kobe be there, anybody? Kobe will be there. Logan is going through. All right. Stephen will be working. All right. So let's pray together for these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for them. So this morning you have an outline, and just before we get to the outline, I'm just curious if you were here the last time I preached, do you remember the text I gave, or you remember my outline? Can you pull that from your memory banks? Ephesians, not the last time I preached. No, it's no harm if you can't remember. With Psalm 103, and I spoke on the height and width and depth of God's love. And this morning, I want to speak on honoring Jesus. John chapter 12, honoring Jesus. So you have an outline, and we're going to go through this. And hopefully I remember to tell you everything to fill in. Sometimes I forget. But we're in John chapter 12. I'm reading from the New International Version. And in God's Word, John chapter 12, verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. There's a lot in this passage, a lot of things that interest you. I will mention some things, but undoubtedly there's far more in this passage than I will speak on this morning. But I want to speak on honoring Jesus. The background of this story is that Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. What an amazing miracle. And somebody had this great idea to throw a party for Jesus after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And of course, Lazarus was invited. Everybody was invited. Lots of people came to this party for Jesus. And this morning, I want to look at this party for Jesus and see some similarities between our celebration every week, Sundays and Wednesdays. When we get together as Christians, we're having a party in Jesus' honor. I don't know if you realize that, but that's really what we're doing. It's all about Jesus, and we're getting together to celebrate him. And so I want to look at this and see how we can apply it to our celebration of Jesus. I want to look at this, but I want to begin by asking, why'd you come to this party? Why'd you come to this party this morning? you have different reasons for having come to this party. There are all sorts of reasons for coming to this party this morning. Children, for one, came to this party because their parents brought them, right? That's the reason they came to this party. Some people maybe come to this party, Shalom Christian Fellowship, and that fellowship means party. I don't know if you noticed that. That's what we're really good at. We're really good at the party, 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 party. We get together and we eat and have fun. That's in our name, and that's what we do, fellowship. All right, so you may be here this morning because your spouse wants to come to this church. You may be here this morning because your parents come to this church or your children come to this church. You have different reasons. You may be here, Brother Jeffrey, though I know he's not, but I could say Brother Jeffrey could be here because this is the only church with a Trinidadian pastor for miles around, you know? That could be the reason he's here. But there are lots of reasons that may be your primary reason for coming to this party this morning. But I want to give you even better reasons to come to be here. It's the reason the people came to the party in this passage. Why did they come to that party in John chapter 12? They came because Jesus was there. That's why they were there, because Jesus was there. And they came to honor him. And those are the two greatest reasons we can come to church on Sunday and church on Wednesday, is because Jesus is here and because we want to honor him. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, you will recall that Jesus said, "If two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." There I am in the midst of them. Does that ring a bell? Matthew 18, 20. When two or three Christians get together to honor Christ, he comes in a special way. God is everywhere. Amen? God is everywhere. However, he chooses at times to let us feel his presence. You don't always feel God's presence. Most of the time you don't feel God's presence. Is he not present? He's always present. He's always present. In the Old Testament, God was everywhere, but in a special way, he was present in the tabernacle, in the temple. He would reveal his Shekinah glory. He would let you see that he was there and feel that he was there and maybe even hear that he was there. But he was always there, whether he revealed it or not. I'm here every Sunday, but I don't always talk to you. You don't always hear from me. I'm always here, but sometimes I'm here and you may never see me. Same with you. You may be here every Sunday, but I don't always hear from you. But when we get together in Jesus' name, he is here in a special way. And we hear from him in a way that we don't hear him every day. And we feel his presence in a way. Some people say, "I don't need to go to church. I can have church in the woods." You can have church in the woods. You can. But unless there are two or three of you gathered there, you're not going to hear from him and feel his presence like he does when we have a party for him in his honor. He shows up in a special way. And I tell you, that's something worth getting out of bed on a Sunday morning and getting to church. Because when you leave, you know you were in the presence of God. It's worth it to be with Jesus. Amen? It's unforgettable. It's the best part of living, as far as I'm concerned, is being in his presence. So why come to this party? Because Jesus is here. And why come to this party? Because we want to honor him. We want to praise him. We want to worship him. We want to lift him up. It is a Christian's duty to do that, to lift up the name of the Lord. And they did. They came to this party to honor him. He was the most important person there, and they came to give him honor. And so here in my outline, A1A, I have come because he is here. For B, I have come to honor him. And C, I say, come because you know he wants you here. I said the children come here because their parents are coming here, right? Well, guess what? If you're here because your parents brought you here, God wants you to be here, right? I haven't got much choice there. You, everybody else should be here because they sense that God wants them here. Does God want you here at Shalom Christian Fellowship? Is this the place God has for you? I certainly hope it is. But you need to know that this is where God wants you to be. You need to know for sure. I can remember when I was working for Ed. I would see Ed every day. Every day when I worked for Ed. I would see, Saturday. I could avoid him on Saturdays somehow. But I would see him at least six times a week when I worked for Ed. And I would have to see Harry the same amount. And I would see Daniel the same amount, you know. And after a while, I thought, you know, they've got to get tired of seeing me all the time. Sometimes I get tired of seeing them. Wouldn't it be great, maybe a blessing for everybody involved, if I went to a different church and they got a break from George? Because work is hard. Some, you know, when you're working with people, everything's not always rosy. And the Lord said, I want you here. This is where you belong. I said, okay, I'll keep coming then. Is this where God wants you? Has he led you here? Why on earth would you leave then? If God led you here and told you this is where he wants you, why would you leave? Well, so-and-so said something to me the other day. Oh, but what did God say to you the day before? Oh, he told me I should be here. That's really what you need to listen to. Things aren't always rosy at church. We are imperfect people and we do imperfect things. And that's a nice way to put it. And we get, our emotions get involved. And you can leave because you're hurt. You could leave because you're angry. You could leave for all sorts of reasons. But if you leave Shalom Christian Fellowship, I pray that it would only be for the reason that you knew in your heart that God was leading you somewhere else. Come because you know he wants you to be here. It's what we're here this morning. And we're honoring Jesus. How can you honor Jesus when you're here? As we look in this text, now this is a story about a party, a very interesting story about a party. But there's some interesting people, and they each have a different way of honoring Jesus. And I want you to know that when you come to this party, there are different ways you can honor Jesus. How to honor Jesus here? Number one, serve. Number one, serve. Martha served. So you have an S there. That's serve, and an M there, that's Martha. The Word of God says here, verse 2, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. Martha served. To have a party, you need some people who are serving, don't you? To have a party for Jesus at church, you need some people who will serve. You need someone who will, you need people who will participate in worship. You need people who will participate in nursery. You need people who will participate in teaching the children. You need people to bring donuts, hallelujah, to make coffee, you know, and to clean up afterwards. In order for us to get together, we need someone who will clean the church, you know, so it's a presentable place. There's all sorts of ways to serve. The next part says, we'll spend more time on that in a minute. It says, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. In order for other people to be with Jesus in his presence, it takes others who will serve to make that possible. Does that make sense? We don't all have to serve. Some people get to sit. But we need people to serve so that others can sit. We need, that's a way to honor Jesus. And so Martha, she was just a born server. That was her thing. Don't you know that? Luke chapter 10, when Jesus came over her house, she was busy in the kitchen, right? Just cooking, 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 cooking. That was her thing. She was a servant. And so she was at her best at this party, honoring Jesus by using her abilities so that others could sit with him. We need that. We need that in this church. One thing we're going to have to get real good at that we haven't had to lately is serving in the nursery. We're getting babies, praise the Lord. We're getting toddlers in here. And we don't want the mothers who are busy with the toddlers and the babies throughout the week to come right on a Sunday morning service to a party for Jesus and be busy in the nursery taking care of toddlers and babies. So we want to organize ourselves. And so we'll need people who can serve in that capacity. And that's an important way to honor Jesus and to worship him. And Martha, that was her thing. But you know, maybe that's your thing. You know, it's my thing. You'll find I just love to teach the children. And you will... it's hard for me to let go and just sit, you know. If when I'm sitting and I'm listening to Garth preach, and I love to hear Garth preach, you know what I want to do? I want to preach too. And I need to be preached at, though. And I need to sit in the presence of Jesus. And I rather serve, but I need to sit sometimes. And those of you who have a gift for serving, you can honor him by that. But at times, you need to let someone else serve so you can be in his presence. Here we have Lazarus. Number two is sit. How can you honor Jesus? You can sit. And L is for Lazarus. It says here that Martha served, verse 2, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Lazarus was among the many people who are with Jesus. And Jesus, remember Jesus, he doesn't want to come to a party and have everyone serving him, nobody in his presence, no one hearing what he says, no one being with him. He loves people. And so Lazarus was blessing and honoring Jesus by being close, sitting with him and enjoying his company. And that is what Jesus wanted. And that was a blessing to Jesus. When you're here on Sundays or Wednesdays, you're in his presence and you listen to what he has to say. And that is a way to honor him and to enjoy him and to worship him. You can sit. And as I said, if you really love to serve, sometimes you need to sit. And if you really love to sit, sometimes you need to serve. You need to not just always do one. But here Lazarus was being a blessing to Jesus by being in his presence and honoring him. But here's what we want to look at now. It's this third one. And you've got no idea what it is. No idea. Number one was what? Serve. Number two is sit. Number three, I'll let you hang on for a little while, but I'll read the text that it comes from. And maybe you'll guess what it is. It says, verse 3, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You see, Martha was a server. Lazarus was a sitter. And Mary was a spiller. You can serve the Lord. You can serve, you can sit, or you can spill. Okay? Spill, saturate, right? You could, that works too. But spill. I want you to see what was Mary's way of honoring Jesus. She comes in and she pours out all that she has on Jesus. She gives him her best. She gives him her all. She came with this, with her way of worshiping Jesus, her way of honoring Jesus. It was a messy way. Man, was her way messy. And everybody knew what she did. I mean, you couldn't escape it. The room was filled with the fragrance. This was costly. This was messy. I mean, think of it. She just spilt $10,000 or more all over Jesus and all over the floor. And it was gone. That's extravagant. But she just poured out her all for Jesus. That was her way of honoring Jesus. She didn't care what others thought. She just cared about Jesus. And after all, wasn't it all about Jesus? Now, other people told her what they thought of what she did. But praise the Lord, Jesus told her what he thought of what she did. He was all for it. It was perfectly fine with him. She poured it all. She was a spiller. I don't know if you've noticed, but our pastor is a spiller. When he comes to worship, He just pours it all out on Jesus. You know that? He just pours it all out. Me, I'm a tidier worshiper. I just, you know, I got my little Jesus. I'm a tidier worshiper, you know. I don't spill, I don't make much of a mess. Nobody else really knows what I'm doing. If I sit on the front, you might know what I'm doing. But if I sat in the back, you'd have no idea. Probably, unless it's a hymn. Then if it's a hymn, and I'll sing it like that, and everybody will hear George worshiping. But otherwise, probably not going to. But you know what? I get the impression that our pastor would love it if there were a few more spillers here. A few more people who came with their alabaster jars with them, ready to pour it out, you know? And I have to tell you, do you know what? Spillers affect me. They affect me. I get a little messier in my worship when spillers are around. When they're shouting glory to Jesus, I realize, you know, he really deserves that. And so my volume goes up some. You know what I mean? Their hands go up in the air, and I think, where are my hands? Jesus deserves my hands up in the air too. I don't know about you, but spillers affect me in a good way. I don't think I'll ever be a full-fledged spiller. I don't know. I'm not against it. But praise the Lord for spillers. You know, some churches have no room for spillers. You know what? That if you go to their church and you spill, they'll clean you up and send you on your way and say, I'm sorry, we don't need messy people in worship. And I guess maybe we need to get a sign and say, spillers can come here. You know, Ed and Garth would love it. If you got turned away for being messy in worship, come be messy in worship here. It's a good thing, isn't it? What Mary did was a great thing. She gave her all to Jesus. You know, some of you spill. You don't spill regularly on Sundays, but if we have testimony time, you come up and you spill. You do. You spill. Your tears flow, and you tell what Jesus did for you, and you praise him, and that's your messy time. You spill at testimony time, and you know what? That's all right with Jesus. He's fine with that sort of thing. So there's different ways to honor him. You can serve. You can sit. You can spill. And that's all about the party. You know, parties are messy things. Did you notice that? Parties are messy things. But it's good. It's good to have parties in Jesus' honor. It's good. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. We see this party. We see different ways to honor him. And as we close, there's a little more to the story that I want to draw your attention, is that you can honor him outside of the party. You can honor him when you're away from his presence. And that's what we find here with Lazarus. We jump down to number 9, verse 9. It says, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. This passage has so many interesting things about it. You know, if we wanted, we could spend time with the fact that Judas was reaching into the money bag. And guess who knew that? The Lord knew that. The thing is, the Lord knows everything. If Jesus were taking care of everything he knew, that would be a wild ride, wouldn't it? Jesus has his time for taking care of everything. My little side note here, my little side sermon is, Jesus knows what you're up to if you're up to something that nobody else knows. Jesus knows. Don't think that because he hasn't done anything about it that he won't do anything about it. He takes care of it in his time. And you best take care of it with him before he takes care of it without you. That makes sense? Because he will take care of it. Don't interpret his having done nothing about it as permission that you're one of the special ones that are allowed to do that, whatever that is. The scripture says it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. He is kind in not dealing with us as our sins deserve. He is patient, wanting us to repent. But be sure, if there's something you're doing that you shouldn't be doing and nobody else knows about it, he knows about it and he's planning on dealing with it. And he'd like you to repent before he deals with it. Another interesting thing is the chief priest wanted to kill the man that Jesus had raised from the dead. Isn't that insane? Well, we better. He just raised him from the dead. Well, we better kill him then. Okay. You guys have lost it. You don't know who you're dealing with. But anyway, Lazarus, how can you honor God when you're away from the party? Here we have Lazarus. Many people are coming to Jesus because of Lazarus. What was Lazarus? Great evangelist? Was he a prophet? Was he a great preacher? What was it that Lazarus was doing that was bringing so many people to Jesus? Well, you see, he got sick, then he died, and Jesus rose him from the dead. That's all he did. In fact, you know what that means? That Lazarus did nothing. God did it all. It's what God did in Lazarus' life that was bringing people to Jesus. You want to see people come to Jesus? Yes, you do. Well, let God do what he wants to do in your life. Whatever it is, just let him do it. Whether you like it or not, get out of the way. Let God do what he's doing in your life, whether it's sickness or death. Let God do a miracle and let people see that miracle. In fact, how about this? Isn't what God did for Lazarus the thing that he did for you? Weren't you dead in your sins until God had mercy on you and raised you to life in Christ? Is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? This morning, you either were dead in sin and made alive in Christ, or you don't have a testimony. Is that your testimony? Do you know that's all you need to bring others to Christ? They just need to hear your testimony. They need to hear your testimony. It needs to become a part of your life. People need to just know that you're just one of these people who are just like them until Christ got a hold of your life. That's all they need to hear. This is who I was. By the grace of God, this is who I am. He can do the same for you. That is what Lazarus was doing to bring others to him, to Jesus, was just let them know what Jesus had done for him. Is that your testimony? That's powerful. I think of Moses. He did some of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament. This was his method. God would talk to him. He would say, this is what God says. Then he would raise up a stick. That was his part. Then God would turn the water to blood, or send flies, or darkness, or water from a rock, or part the Red Sea. Moses just had to go, God says. That's not hard. And there's a truth there, isn't there? It's not what we do, it's what God does. And I think we have this fear that if we don't do more, people aren't going to get saved. You just need to tell more what God has already done, and people will get saved. Amen? What has he done for you? So the S here is share. That's what Lazarus did. He shared. Your part is small. God's part is great. Become a person who's open to telling other people what Jesus has done for him or her. I'll tell you a person who could use you. If you want to just share what Jesus means to you, what Jesus has done for you, I'll tell you a person who can share you. Is that man over there in that corner by the name of Jeffrey Coonan? He's all about creating opportunities for you just to get up and say, this is what Jesus did for me. He has ministries at the nursing home, and at some point he turns to whoever's with him, who would you like to share anything with this group? He goes to parks, sets up a speaker system, and he shares the word of God and plays music, and then he turns to whoever's joined him. He says, is there anything you want to share with the people that are listening? And people will come up and say, Jesus saved me. This is what I was. This is what Jesus did for me. He gives opportunities for people who just want to share. If you want to share on the outside and you say, connect with Jeffrey and say, Jeffrey, anytime this month that I could possibly just share a little about Jesus, he'll say, yeah, I'll tell you when. I'll tell you where. He's a man. But you have friends. You have coworkers. You have neighbors. Become a person who just says, this is what Jesus did for me. You want to honor Jesus? Continue to come to the party. Be in his presence. Sit, serve, spill even. It brings him glory. And when you're out of the party, share. May the Lord be glorified by your life. May great honor be brought to him. We want to close and just worship Jesus. I appreciate you looking with me at these scriptures, and Ed's going to come and give you one more opportunity before we leave to focus our attention on Jesus, to be in his presence and worship.